Chapter 5. The Need for Communication. Part 1.
A couple wasn't getting along too well, so the husband decides to try to lighten his wife up a little bit by telling her a joke.
He said, "Hey, honey, how many women does it take to screw in a light bulb?"
And without even batting an eye, his wife immediately goes into a tirade and says, "You want to know how many women it takes to screw in a light bulb?
Well, I'll tell you, mister. One. One. And do you know why it only takes one? Because no one else in this house knows how to change a light bulb. They don't even know the bulb is burned out.
In fact, they'd sit in this house in the dark for 3 days before they'd even figured it out. And once they figured it out, they wouldn't be able to find the light bulbs even though they've been in the same cupboard for the past 17 years. But if they did, by some miracle, actually find the light bulbs, 2 days later the chair that they dragged from two rooms over to stand on to change the stupid light bulb would still be in the same spot. And underneath it would be the crumpled wrapper that the stupid light bulbs came in. Why? Because no one in this house ever takes out the garbage.
Why, it's a wonder we all haven't suffocated from the piles of garbage that are 12 feet deep throughout the entire house. And speaking of the house,
it would take an army to clean this place and, I'm sorry, what did you ask me?"
And the husband replied, never mind.
Now, how many of you guys would say that woman was just a little bit stressed out in her marriage? And how many of you would agree that marriage can be quite stressful at times? I guess that's why one person said the honeymoon is that period between I do and you'd better. But seriously, is this the kind of relationship that God had in mind when he instituted marriage in the Garden of Eden? Folks, I'm here to tell you that the answer is absolutely not. Yes, Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden, and along with this, they also blew the chance of having a perfect marriage. But the good news is that even though you and I may never have a perfect marriage, that doesn't mean that we've got to resign ourselves to a life of personal pain and silent suffering. It just means that it's going to take some time and lots of work. Why? Because folks, marriages aren't made in heaven, they're made right here on earth. Therefore, we're going to continue looking at the steps for having a marriage built to last. We already saw the first step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge that marriage is under attack. The second step was to acknowledge that men and women are different. The third step was to acknowledge that love is an action. And in the last chapter we saw that the fourth step in building a lasting marriage was to acknowledge the need for romance. There we saw that we need to romance each other not just before but after we're married. And the way we do that is by filling each other's love tank with special gifts, quality time, positive words, acts of service, and physical touch. But people, that's not the only thing we need to be aware of. The fifth step in building a lasting marriage is to acknowledge the need for communication.
Philippians 4:2-3. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life.
Now, according to our text here, the Apostle Paul desperately pleads with these two Christians to come back together in agreement. Apparently, there was some sort of communication breakdown. In fact, the situation got so bad that Paul even had to ask others to help these two work through their problems. Why? Because this lack of communication was not only affecting their lives, but the church and the gospel as well. And people, this is a perfect example of the need for communication. You cannot have a healthy relationship without it, let alone a healthy marriage. And for some reason, when we get married, that abundant supply of communication we naturally had before we got married somehow disappears. Before we got married, we seemed to have an endless supply of things to say to each other. In fact, on the phone we'd talk each other's ears off for hours about almost anything, and nobody made us. But for a lot of us, not long after we're married, we find ourselves in communication breakdown, and the results are disastrous, like it was with this couple.
A judge was interviewing a woman regarding her pending divorce, and asked her, "What are the grounds for your divorce?" She replied, "About 4 acres and a nice little home in the middle of the property with a stream running by." "No," he said, "I mean, what is the foundation of this case?"
"It is made of concrete, brick and mortar," she responded. "I mean," he continued, "what are your relations like?" "Well, I have an aunt and uncle living here in town, and so does my husband." Starting to get frustrated, the judge then said, "Do you have a real grudge?" "No," she replied, We have a two-car carport and have never really needed one.
Please, he tried again, is there any infidelity in your marriage?
Yes, both my son and daughter have stereo. We don't necessarily like the music, but the answer to your question is yes. Starting to get impatient, the judge asked, Mom, does your husband ever beat you up? Yes, she responded, about twice a week he gets up earlier than I do.
Finally, in frustration, the judge asked, Lady, why do you want a divorce?
Oh, I don't want a divorce, she replied. I've never wanted a divorce. My husband does. He said he can't communicate with me.
Now folks, that joke would be funny if it weren't so true. And the reason why it's such a common scenario in many marriages is because we forget about the need for communication. You see, if we're going to have a marriage built to last, then we've got to communicate with each other before and after we're married. And folks, learning to communicate will either make or break your marriage. Why? Because without communication there is no relationship. And you cannot have a healthy marriage without a relationship. Have you noticed that? So just what are some practical ways we can avoid communication breakdown in our marriages? Great question. I'm glad you asked. The first practical way to avoid communication breakdown is by giving each other some time.
Ecclesiastes 3:1-7. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak up.
You see, in order for communication to happen, you must first take the time to do it, right? And when it comes to giving some time to communicate, there are a couple of things we need to be aware of if it's going to be effective. And the first thing we need to do is to give some time to cool off. Hey, did you guys know that sometimes it's actually good to wait a little while before you initiate communication? Especially if the person is in a bad mood like this guy learned.
One guy decided to buy his wife a mood ring so he could figure out the best time to talk with her. And sure enough, in no time he was able to figure out that when she was in a good mood it turned green. And when she was in a bad mood it left a red mark on his forehead.
Now how many of you would say that man needed to give his wife just a little bit more time to cool off? And men, you don't need to go out and buy a mood ring to know when to talk to your wife. Apparently that doesn't work. But you do need to understand that it could be a mood thing, and that she simply needs time to cool down. And folks, the reason why this may be necessary is because of yet another God-given difference between men and women. You see, when encountering difficult situations, women in general tend to feel, act, and then think about it later. And because the feelings come first, women tend to be a little bit more emotional in difficult circumstances. So men, if your wife is showing signs of not wanting to communicate right away, then pay attention. It doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't want to, it might be that she just needs a little extra time to let the emotions calm back down. She needs to cool off. The second thing we need to do is to give some time to think. Hey, did you guys know that women aren't the only ones who may need a little extra time before initiating communication? Sometimes men need it too. Why? Thanks for asking. It's because of another God-given difference. You see, when encountering difficult situations, men in general tend to think, act, and then feel about it later. 6. And because the thinking comes first, men tend to take a little while to process information. But ladies, if your husband doesn't respond within 5 minutes, then he's either not paying attention or he's dead. You need to check his pulse. But seriously ladies, if your husband is showing signs of not wanting to communicate right away, then pay attention. It doesn't necessarily mean that he doesn't want to. It might just be that he needs a little extra time to process the information. He might need some time to think about it. The third thing we need to do is to give some time to share. You see, many times we'll experience communication breakdown because we don't allow the other person to share what's on their mind or how they feel. But there's definitely room for balance here. First of all, when you share, don't interrupt the person every 5 seconds. You wouldn't want that done to you, and the other person won't ever get finished with what they have to say. And secondly, when you share, don't babble on and on and on. For instance, one guy shared with his coworker that he hadn't spoken to his wife for 18 months. And the other guy asked him, well, why not? And he said, I don't like to interrupt her. Now that guy wasn't ever going to get to tell his side of the story, was he? And folks, it's one thing to discuss an issue, but it's another thing to beat a dead horse into the ground. You wouldn't want that done to you, and besides, the other person won't ever get a word in edgewise, will they? People of God, if we're ever going to avoid communication breakdown, then we've got to give each other some time. Time to cool off, time to think, and time to share. The second practical way to avoid communication breakdown is by giving each other some clarity. You see, even if you give each other the necessary time to communicate, it might still get messed up if the other person doesn't understand what you're saying, right? And the results are disastrous. For instance, 90% of all criminals have difficulty communicating with other people. 60% of all management problems are a result of faulty communication. And half of all divorces result from faulty communication between spouses. Therefore, sometimes the problems in marriages persist not so much because a husband and wife aren't trying to communicate with each other. Sometimes they are, desperately so. But they don't get anywhere because the other person simply doesn't understand. Therefore, you need to make sure that you give some clarity to what you're trying to communicate. And one of the most effective ways to get your message across is by using what's called word pictures.
Psalm 42:1 As the deer pants for streams of water, so I long for you, O God.
Here we see the psalmist using a word picture of a deer thirsting for a cool drink of refreshing water to communicate just how much they personally long for God Almighty.
Philippians 3:14 I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven.
Here we see the Apostle Paul using a word picture of an athlete straining with all his might to win a race in order to communicate just how much he was personally striving to live a disciplined life all the way to heaven. And folks, word pictures are not only biblical, they're effective. Why? Because they access both sides of the brain. A word picture causes us not only to stop and think about what is said but to feel the emotion as well. Therefore, the message that is communicated is not only clarified but it locks it into a person's memory for years to come.
One author who believes in the power of demonstrating what you're trying to communicate says this, don't tell him, show him. For instance, a bad version would be saying, Fred was a man with a very bad case of body odor. A better version would be this, as Fred came walking down the country road, a herd of goats looked at him in utter fear, and they all ran off into a field gagging and coughing.
Hey, pretty effective, isn't it? But men, take it from me, don't use the words body odor, goats, and gagging all in one sentence to your wife. You're liable to get a red mark on your forehead like the other guy did. But seriously, there's a powerful difference between telling something and sharing something with a word picture, isn't there? It provides an awesome clarity to what you're trying to communicate. Therefore, let me share a couple of healthy examples of word pictures with you. The following are true life word pictures that a husband and wife came up with that not only got their point across but it changed how they behaved in their marriage from that day forward. A husband who had a very critical wife would come home exhausted from a hard day of work and she would always immediately jump his case as soon as he walked through the door and nitpick him. So he shared this word picture.
Remember Grandpa and his puppy that he loved and was so gentle with? Well, sometimes I feel like a little dog in the backyard who is frisky and excited about life and one day happened to crawl underneath the fence to go explore. While I'm out there in the woods, I get attacked by wild animals, and I'm running out of food and water, and somehow I finally manage to find my way back and crawl back under the fence. And all I can think of is, yeah, Grandpa. He's going to feed me and pet me, and so I charge up to the back door, and I'm all excited, and put my paws on the door to let him know I'm here, and I see Grandpa and say, ah, there he is. But Grandpa throws open the screen door and picks up a twig and starts whacking me. In fact, he keeps on whacking me as he knocks me off the back porch and starts chasing me around the yard with twig in hand, belting out whack after whack after whack. And honey, sometimes I feel like when I come home you pick up a stick that you've already got prepared and you whack me across the chest, you never spend any time with me, and whack, when are you ever going to do this or that, and you keep on whacking me as I try to get away, and I wonder how long I can endure this.
Now check out this word picture that a wife gave who felt abandoned by her husband.
I feel like this. Each day when you get up and go to a job you love, you first meet for breakfast with people you like. Then after eating, you put the extra food in a bag. Then at lunchtime you go out with another group of people whose company you really enjoy, and afterwards you put more food in another bag. Then after work you stop off for dinner at a fancy restaurant with more people you love, and enjoy a sumptuous meal, and put more food in another bag. Then you finally come home, and I've been looking forward to being with you all day, and spending time together sharing and talking, and you come through the door and say, "Hi honey," and hand me three doggy bags, and go off and do whatever you do. And she said that so many evenings when you come home, I feel like all I ever get is leftovers and doggy bags, and it's not the kind of relationship I've always anticipated.
Now can you see the powerful difference between telling something versus sharing something with a word picture? It provides awesome clarity to what you're trying to say, doesn't it? Folks, sometimes, problems in a marriage persist not so much because the husband and wife aren't trying to communicate. Sometimes they are, desperately so. But they don't get anywhere because the other person simply doesn't understand. Therefore, if we're ever going to avoid communication breakdown, then we've got to give some clarity. Otherwise, you'll be wasting your time. And folks, this is the great news. Even if you've been experiencing communication breakdown for many years, believe it or not, healthy communication can flow again in no time. But our problem is that when it comes to initiating communication in our marriages, we usually set ourselves up for a trap. We tell ourselves that we'll start communicating again just as soon as our spouse does. But people, that's a trap. If you're waiting for your spouse to initiate communication before you do, especially if it's been a long time, you'll never get around to it. Why? Because somebody has to take the initiative to start the ball rolling again, like the Apostle Paul had to do with Euodia and Syntyche. And if we refuse to do this, then our marriage will pay the price, like this couple learned.
There's a story about a man and wife who were celebrating their golden wedding anniversary, 50 years of married life. Having spent most of the day with relatives and friends at a big party given in their honor, they were back home again. They decided, before retiring, to have a little snack of tea with bread and butter. They went into the kitchen, where the husband opened up a new loaf of bread and handed the end piece, the heel, to his wife. Whereupon she exploded. She said, "For 50 years you've been dumping the heel of the bread on me.
I will not take it anymore, this lack of concern for me and what I like."
On and on she went in the bitterest of terms, for offering her the heel of the bread. The husband was absolutely astonished at her tirade. When she had finished, he said to her quietly, "But it's my favorite piece."
Now I'd say the couple had some trouble communicating. How about you? Imagine how much different their 50 years together could have been if one or both of those people would have taken the initiative to communicate their problems with each other. You see, it's actually a bittersweet story. They learned about the power and need for communication. But they learned about it a little bit too late, didn't they? And as a result, their marriage suffered needlessly year after year after year. People of God, being married doesn't mean your life is always going to be filled with personal pain and silent suffering. God never said that it'd be easy. He just said that it's going to take some time and lots of work. And if we'll just acknowledge the need for communication, and get busy giving each other some time and some clarity, then we're well on our way to having a marriage built to last.